CliffCentral.com.
Ah, yes. Good morning, everybody. And good morning, Pums. What's going on in the studio there? It looks like there's a lot of activity. What's happening? Pumelele.
All the technical issues this morning.
Oh, I'm just going to wing it.
Can't hear you.
Oh, no.
I'm going to assume you're saying good morning.
Yeah. Why can't you hear me? That's terrible.
Okay, now I...
Okay. Very good. All right. Let's go. Now I can't hear you.
I don't know.
Okay, right. Now it's good.
Sipu has been trying to figure it out. It's good now? Yeah.
Okay,
Do I sound like the adults in Charlie Brown?
No, you sound fine. You sound nice to see you, Pums. How are you?
Hello, Baba.
I was happy.
I'm happy to report that it is raining in Jersey, and I'm so excited.
I love waking up in the rain. It's my favorite thing. In fact, this morning I woke up a little earlier than usual, and I went downstairs and I stood in the rain for a little bit, which is so childish and silly, but I love it.
You also stood in the rain?
Yes.
A friend of mine stood in the rain for a good 5 minutes the other day.
Yes.
When it rained the first time, she was just like, ah, she sent messages to all of us with pictures of herself.
Oh, I love
standing
it.
In the rain.
I love it. You know, there's something about that blessing of the rain. I don't know any culture that doesn't consider it a blessing when it rains, but it's especially welcome in our dry summer, which, you know, I think it's going to be a wet summer like last year. I mean, do you remember last year it just rained and rained? Thank goodness. Yeah, I'm happy.
I love it when it rains and rains and rains.
So it seems you and I are both in an excellent mood, and I'm not going to spoil that by getting straight into politics this morning. So that's another promise I'm going to make. We'll do politics after 7.
Although we should all be in a happy mood. You saw my note about the day couplets?
Yes.
Turning one.
Yes.
Happy birthday to the day couplets.
Do you remember when that was the big story? That was last year. We've been through a lot. I know. So I had a fascinating night last night, and I just quickly want to refer to some of that.
Tell me.
So I went to this event. You know I'm allergic to going to events, but I've decided that I'm being a curmudgeonly, grumpy old asshole, and I kind of like that they're starting up again. You know, we've come out of a...
yes!
We've come out of a period where people have been staying at home, they haven't been going out, they maybe do weekends, but they don't do anything during the week. And in 2 weeks, I've done 2 really big dinners, and they've both been spectacular. Last week, I did this thing with MSC Cruises and our friend Stefano, who you know very well. This week it was Adcock Ingram and our friend Sadia, who, you know, the Adcock Ingram OTC, which means over-the-counter, sponsors of Brave. These are the guys who have been backing Prof. Christopher Paul Szabo's mental health series. We're on to season 3, which we spoke to him about last week, of Beyond Madness. And really, they're doing an incredible job of supporting things like that. They're supporting Hopetober, which is coming to an end now, but October is their month of hope, which really we need in this country. I mean, hope is something we can never, ever have too little of. And they do amazing stuff outside of that, too, with pharmacists all over the country. There are all kinds of community activations. They've been very involved in the Espresso show on SABC3 the last month, kind of bringing on great South Africans and talking about hope and all of that stuff. So anyway, that's besides the point. We were there last night because they're a fantastic client of ours, and they were celebrating journalists. You were at a Media Freedom event last week, remember? Between us, we're getting out and doing things. And, you know, there were so many people there that I'm just really happy that are getting the recognition they deserve. Journalists who've done a terrific job all around. People who are household names. People like Ashraf Garda and Sakina Kamwendo and Yuveka Rangapa.
Oh, I think I saw some of this. And Ati... Mtongwana, was it Ati Mtongwana who won something last night? Who else won last night?
There were lots of people who got awards.
I saw some of this.
Heidi Jokos.
Yeah.
you know, some of the real media stars. Katie Katapotis was there. She was the host of the evening. And it was at Nelson Mandela's home while he was president in Houghton on 13th Avenue in Houghton.
That's at Sanctuary Mandela.
Mm. Now, I haven't been. For me, the last time I was there was, you know, I was university friends with Mandla, his grandson, who's now Nkosi Zwelivelile Dalibunga Mandela. He's not just Mandla anymore. And when I last went there, he was living there, and we were watching TV. Mm. We were watching TV, and he walked down the stairs in his dressing gown, and to walk back into that house, you know, because we've now had. You know, it's been since 2014 that he died. So, you know, it's more than 13 years, December 2013, that's right, that he died. So it's been, what, 10 years almost? It'll be 10 years in December of next year anyway. So I think about him often, and having been privileged enough to have met him once or twice, I've never been one of those people to kind of relegate his legacy or to poo-poo the kind of person he was, because he was a spectacular man at a spectacular time. And none of these people who criticized Nelson Mandela, or anybody else around that time for that matter, none of them could have done a better job. We have what we call, who was it who said, I think it was Douglas Murray, the author, who called it chronological superiority. We think that because we're around now, we're better than anyone in the past. Anyway, I'm not going to get into that. What I wanted to say was, to go back to this house, was goosebump stuff. I got a couple of pictures. I'll just show you. This is what the house famously looks like from the front. You know, that is the famous entrance that, you know, they've made movies like Invictus at. And, you know, Madiba's room is up to the I think it's the left-hand side of that.
The left, yes.
And, you know, this is the house where he had those really important meetings with, like, the general in the beginning. You know, he had these meetings with famous politicians, ANC people. He basically used to run, because he was already quite an old man when he became president, he used to do a lot of stuff from home. Long before COVID was the reason that we did work from home, you know?
He was 17. How was 76?
76, yeah. There's a lovely statue of him in the portico of the house, and it's him holding a newspaper, which he used to do every morning. And I met his private chef, the woman who cooked for him for years, Oliswa.
She still cooks there.
That's Oliswa Ndoyiya, who was in charge of our menu for last night as well. So, I mean, it was really special. And I encourage anyone to go and you can see
She's the head chef there.
She is the
so
head chef.
So when you go, you get to, and the meals on the menu are some of his favorite meals.
She'll tell you stories of him that only she would know. But I encourage anybody who, if you're doing something, whether it's a corporate thing or you just want to break in Johannesburg, so you can actually stay in the house for the night. It's run by the foundation, the Nelson Mandela Foundation. They've got some incredible stuff around, memorabilia. There are some absolutely beautiful artworks on the wall of, you know, paintings that were done by, I think, Mayer of Madiba when he was a child, that, you know, he's had to use his imagination because obviously there were no photographs of that, but of him walking into the distance as an old man on these beautiful, you know, Transkei landscapes. It's really Clean. Special. For me, I can't say enough good things about it. The food was amazing. The event itself was amazing. It was great to be there with all of those people. But this house is, I'm so glad that it's been rescued by the foundation, because it was actually falling into a bit of ruin. And they've taken it and they've made it a world-class destination. If you're in Johannesburg, yeah. I didn't even know they'd turned it into this, I'm embarrassed to say. So I was so pleased to go.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I know. I was so pleased to go and see it again, and I will be there again. And I can just say,
You can also just go for a coffee. Because the restaurant is always open. And I think on Sundays, I think it's every Sunday. It might be once a month. They have live music on a Sunday afternoon. So with the lunch, there's like a quartet that plays. It's nice. It's amazing.
Yeah, so a very special place, and just go and see it if you haven't. It's amazing. Bailey says, I'm on my way to do final setup for TEDx. Fossils need to go on display. Nice. Yeah. Very good. Okay, very good. Go, Bailey. That's terrific. Carl says, Nelson Mandela was the best South African ever. I wonder if he's turning in his grave watching what his party are doing to the country. Well, he was around to see a lot of it, but he was already very old, and I think a lot of people, when they've done everything they could for somewhere, they kind of go, all right, it's up to the kids, and I'm not going to judge. Let them get on with their lives. I think that's what he did. You remember him saying a few times his famous line, it's in your hands, you know, as if to say, guys, you've got to sort out from here on your own. And maybe we've all done a crap job of it, but I don't know. I just felt very hopeful again, having been in that house, having spent some time with all of these people who work hard in the media business, and it was great to see everybody and lovely to be a part of it. So I'm a little bit kind of on a very optimistic track at the moment. The rain is helping, and I'm excited about the weekend, which is coming up, which I'm very, you know, I'm full of optimism today. So if it irritates you, I'm sorry.
You know, I was at an event a couple of weeks ago for the first time ever. I had never been to the foundation, to the office.
Yes.
It was held there in the boardroom at the foundation. And you know, the foundation is where his actual office is that he worked out of until he stopped going into the office. And they have preserved his office. There's a little display. There's an ongoing kind of historical display of some photographs, some artifacts from his presidency, and his office, his actual office
that he
worked in until the day he retired is preserved the way that he left it when he walked out. And you can go in there.
It's beautiful.
It's really cool.
Remember, I was the MC at the opening of the Center of Memory, about 10 years ago. And I introduced President Zuma at that that opening of the Center of Memory. So I've really been very lucky to have been involved with some of the stuff. But again, that's a place to visit. You know, they've got the Center of Memory. They've got all these incredible letters of his that he wrote. Here's the office that you're talking about, Pums. Which is absolutely pristine and really, again, worth a visit. Just to remind yourself of, you know, the really great things about this country and the great person that he was and the great moral and human capital that we had at that time when we were the envy of the world for the first time instead of, as he said, the skunk of the world, which we were before. Anyway, we've got lots of good things to talk about this morning. I've also got a bunch of other things that I want to get into. So I don't know if it's just me, and maybe we can ask anybody who lives in South Africa and drives in Johannesburg whether this has happened to them. You also drive past Buccleuch Interchange, right, occasionally. Now, at the Buccleuch Interchange, there is a cell.
Listen, I never go that far north.
Okay, well, anybody who does, the Cell C head office is on the one side of the Buccleuch Interchange. Now, I've noticed every time, because my phone connects to my car via Apple CarPlay. So whenever it connects, I can listen to podcasts and music and whatever else. It makes it such a pleasure, and I love it. My phone, I don't have to sit there on the phone. If I talk to the phone, it responds to voice commands and so on. But whenever I drive past Cell C's head office, whether it's on the coming or the going side of the highway, my phone disconnects. It's like they've got a signal jammer or something there, and I know that the cell phone companies have signal jammers. There's a famous story about Alan Knott Craig flying over an MTN launch with a signal jammer trying to sabotage it. It's a famous story. Everybody knows it. It actually happened. Now, I want to know why Cell C have got this irritating shit going on when everybody's driving along the highway. I suppose for Cell C people, it might, you know, might not affect them. But am I the only one who's noticed?
I was about to say, are you a Cell C person?
No. So I'm just wondering if I'm the only person who's noticed that your phone disconnects and all signals go crazy When you drive past the Cell C head office, what's that all about? Somebody help me understand.
I don't know. I have never seen that. But then again, as I say, like, that is just way too far north. Nothing takes me in that direction except once in a while when I have to go, like, to work in Pretoria or something.
Look,
or Centurion.
Just pay attention next time you drive past there and tell me if it happens. Okay? I mean, I'm just, it irritates me because I've been, last week I went into the office 5 times and this week I've pretty much been in every day. Yeah, it's all coming back
that's
to me.
That's how also says it happens.
See?
That's how also says it
there
happens.
There we go.
Passes there daily.
Right, there we go. I pass there daily. It does happen to me. It's boring. I thought it's only me. Tech, Celsius. I couldn't agree more. It's like,
how long does it last?
No, it.
How long?
The problem is not that it lasts long. It's like a couple of seconds, but then you have to reconnect your phone manually. So you're driving, and then you have to. It disconnects your phone from the car. Now, it's got to be a signal jam. It's always in the same place, always at Celsius head office. It's got to be them. I'm blaming them. And Chase says, I've experienced the same, Gareth. Calls always drop. It's signal jammers. That's what it's got to be.
Shall we organize a picket to Celsius?
No. I mean, I drive past the Vodacom head office, which is at, Vodaworld in Midrand. You remember that. That's a famous place now. And that never happens with, and I'm not on Vodacom either. I mean, I'm on Telkom on this phone. So, why, Celsius? Why are you doing this to us?
Why?
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 Why? Anyway.
We must bring them on here and give them hell to pay. We must bring them on here and, like, shout at them.
Pumi, I have to ask you about something. I went to my local post office 2 nights ago.
Again?
No, wait.
What?
No, no, no.
And a post office?
So, all right. So, I still stupidly have a post box, okay? And it's always, only things that come through there are municipal bills, e-tolls, and that bullshit advertising stuff that you get, like catalogs and, stupid shit like that. But I still clear it out every few months because you never know. There might be something important. And, I'm a bit old school with having to have a post box. But anyway, the post office now, the actual building is a little square building like all those old apartheid era post offices with a red roof, and the post box is all the way around. It's a disaster. My local post office... And I was stupid. I didn't think about this. But I stopped there at night. I was at my parents' house. I'd popped in to say hi. It's about 8 o'clock at night. On my way from them, I open the post box. First of all, there are 3 homeless people sleeping in the post office.
No.
Yes. And it stinks of piss. And these people are lying on, like, old mattresses. But the one dude is sleeping right directly under my post box, which is fine. I mean, it's not my property. It's the South African Post Office's property. They must sort it out. But it shows you how far the post office has fallen. Obviously, you can't send and receive packages via the post office anymore. You're just never going to get them. And I felt really bad because I wasn't worried for my safety. I mean, I arrived there and I'm a capable guy. I could, if I got into a fight with a homeless person, I'd be all right. But I arrived there and I suddenly thought, well,
Gareth,
you shouldn't go there at night. And, these guys, they live hard, right? You don't know. And there are 3 of them. There's 1 of me. I'm not going to look for trouble there. And then they all kind of wake up and, they sort of ask you for money and shit. And it's now 8 o'clock at night. There are no lights around.
What?
Yeah.
Also, you were there at 8 in the night.
Stupid.
There are so many questions about this little excursion.
I know. It was so stupid. And, I went the next morning because I thought I'd forgotten maybe to lock the post box, but I checked and I had. It was so dumb to, like, go there at night, first of all, because it's just unnecessary. Even if nothing happened and nothing happened, it's just, I think back and I'm like, why did you go there at 8 o'clock at night? It's unnecessary. But
do you not have internet? Have you not seen those on the internet, like homeless people fights?
Yeah, that's horrible. Oh, I know.
That could have been you, Gareth,
bum
walking
fight
into unsuspecting, like waking them up.
It's very It's very sad. I think like the post office is one of those things that we should be able to get that up and running, really. And like not having a good postal service, sure there are couriers and they're very good at their jobs and all that stuff, but it would be nice to just be able to trust the post office with a letter, you know, a letter. Nothing that you, there's no valuable goods inside it that can be stolen or anything else. But if I'm writing a letter, which I still do to people, and there's one that I've got to post today. I'm looking for it now. So
you're going back to the post office.
I'm going to have to go back. Carl says, it's 2022. What the fuck are you still doing going to the post office? Are you 93? Carl, there's some things that I've got to do, you know.
Sending letters. Oh, so you know though what you are making me think about, and I often think about it because we see it a lot more on the streets here in Joburg. For a very long time, in my mind, it was always like a Cape Town thing. Bergies, right? Mm. Were always a Cape Town thing, and we see more and more people on the streets.
Yeah.
Here in Joburg. So we see lots of homeless people in lots of, and I've always wondered, do we have like homeless shelters? Do we have places where people can be taken, people can get a meal, people can get a,
what, like old, do we old have school, that in like South old Africa? School soup kitchens, you know, do we even have those? I don't think we do.
I know in Parkview, there's a whole lot of churches that run lots of soup kitchens. So you'll see, and again, in that area, kind of the Zoo Lake area, you see a lot of homeless people coming to get a bowl of soup in long, long queues.
Well, I'm glad they're still.
But I've always wondered. I've always wondered if we have that.
I was just, you know, here it is. It's right in the middle of kind of our suburb. And there are these three people who've, you know, had to seek shelter there. And listen, I don't know what happened to them in their lives, that this is where it's ended up, that they're sleeping in a post office. And it's fine now because it's not as cold. But, I mean, imagine with this rain. And imagine in winter, how horrible to be out there sleeping under those post boxes on cold concrete, even though there's a little, like, foam mattress or whatever. It's just shit. It really is shit. And it's something we shouldn't, we shouldn't be just okay with it, you know?
And post offices, I know Carl was very rude just now about you going to the post office, but post offices also have a very large network across the country that they could still, there is still work that post offices could do, you know. There is still a lot of keeping people connected. You know, in the States you can vote by a post office too.
It should be just something that works. We don't need to have, you know, enormous staff. And I've mentioned before that we had a wonderful woman. We've still got her, called Busi. She ran the Rivonia post office, which has since closed down. And now she's at Sunning Hill. She runs that one. And she does an amazing job of making sure, you know, that everything works there. And she really does run a good operation. But again, she's got limited resources. And it can't be an easy place to work. And I still think that they perform a useful service for things like updating motor vehicle license discs and, you know, paying SASSA grants and things like that. We have to have a working post office. I'm sorry. It's not acceptable that we've just given up on the post office. I don't think that that's right. We should get that up and running again. There are some things that private business do very well, courier services, all that stuff, but it should be the responsibility of any good, accountable government to have a public postal service. It's important.
I vote for that.
Yeah.
I agree.
All right. So, a couple of things to talk about. This is also a big worry to me before we get into headlines. Pumi, there is a national tequila shortage. I don't know how this has happened.
Because of the supply chain. Is it? It's because of the supply chain.
Still?
Like, because the tequila has to come from Mexico.
So I'm very worried because it's now been a couple of, I mean, I could still find some, but it's not.
Have this. You experienced this personally?
For me, of course.
Asked for a tequila somewhere and there were no tequila?
No, so I haven't been out to drink tequila for a little while, but I buy bottles of it because I like, you know what I'm like, I stock up on everything. I've got light bulbs and paper and all kinds of shit. Not because I'm a prepper. I just like to not have to go to the shops 20 times. I want to go once. Anyway, okay. I've been trying to find tequila. And for, I mean, last Friday, I had a friend of mine come up from KZN and she and I got together with a bunch of our university friends. I couldn't find a single bottle of gold tequila between four shops that I went to.
No bloody way.
Mm.
So this is...
How are we going to solve this?
And did you ask them... Did you... This is... I'm just thinking I better go and buy tequila and, like, be that person that ups the price for it coming... It's almost December.
I feel like I should make my own. I think it's time now. I think by the middle of next year, I want to have my own tequila brand. I'm going to speak to the Mexicans. I'm going to talk to some of my friends in the business, and I'm going to launch my own. And I'm not kidding. I'm serious about this. This is something. It's something I care about. It's the only thing I've ever had to drink. I don't drink other alcohol. It's something I love. I'm going to take this on as a passion project. I'm going to make a tequila, and next year I will launch it. And you are the first people to hear about this right here on the show. I'm doing it. What do you, your mic's just cut off, Pums. Don't know why. Pumi's trying to talk to me and I can't hear her. Tachlejo says, I hate tequila, Mara. When I host, I like it for my guests. It's outrageous. It is outrageous, Tachlejo. I'm very worried about it too. Carol says, I have no food in my freezer, only multiple tequila brands. You see, these are my people. what were you saying, Paul?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can.
I was saying, do you know about the worm and where to get the worm that tequila?
No. You're talking about mezcal. Mezcal has the worm. That's a different thing. There's no worm in tequila. We don't need that. But I've got a considerable knowledge of tequila. I spent 2 weeks.
How do you make tequila?
You make it out of the agave plant. There's a plant they grow, particularly in the Jalisco province of Mexico, called agave, A-G-A-V-E. It's not a cactus. It comes from a totally different family. That is the source material for all tequila. And pure 100% agave tequila is not that burny, nasty shit that they adulterate with cane and, you know, they call it gold tequila. The real stuff is magnificent. It has the perfect euphoric effect that alcohol should have. Tequila, by the way, is the only upper, aside from champagne, among all the alcohols. Tequila is an upper because of the natural properties of the agave plant. So if you drink tequila, it'll make things better, not worse. So no one should drink gin and vodka and all that nonsense. Drink tequila. It's better for you.
It's drink champagne. It's also like tomorrow, champagne day.
Is it?
28th of... Yeah. But you need to tell me more. And how long do you have to ferment it?
So there are three kinds of tequila. I'm so glad you're asking this. This is such a... I love talking about this. There's Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo. Now, Blanco is just straight off the pot still. It's pure distilled agave. That's silver or white tequila. Nobody really drinks that because you use it to clean pots and pans in Mexico. But they do use it. They do use it in things like margaritas.
To clean pots and pans.
That's
okay.
Okay. What you do then is you put it in a barrel. They usually buy old Jack Daniels.
Old
bourbon barrels. They're never new, but they, you know, they burn them on the inside. They put their whiskey inside. Then eventually, after the whiskey, people have used them. Because famously, American bourbon, you only use the cask once. Then they've got all these casks to sell. So the Mexicans and the Scots buy them. The Scots buy them to make Scottish whiskey, which they're not fussy about how many times a barrel's been used. And the Mexicans use it to make Reposado and Añejo tequila. So Reposado lies in the barrel for anywhere from about 5 or 6 months up to about 3 years is a Reposado.
So, okay, and then?
And then if you age it for even longer than that, you get an Añejo, which means old in Mexican and Spanish, and then you get extra Añejo, and you get these really premium tequilas. And I don't want to make one of these cheap, ugly, nasty ones. I'm going to make mine really good quality, really expensive, and really, really cool.
So which means you have to start this month.
Mm. Yes.
You, It's actually have now. To start yeah. now in November so that we can, at least when winter comes, mm-hmm. we've got tequila to drink.
Right. I'll make sure there's some, I promise. Ulrich says, my local pub owner said there is a tequila shortage. Derek says, I'm down. Marco says, do it. Yes, Cliff Keeler. Well, it won't be related to me because I think it's got to be international. So I'm gonna just make it a cool brand. We can sell
so
anywhere.
You know, you say tequila is an upper, mm. and it's the reason why I don't drink tequila is it makes me, like, it's just now giggling, and now you're just like, no. Tequila's not, definitely not for me.
It
makes me naughty.
Well, yes, but that's the point. And for me, isn't that more fun than being miserable, which is what gin does to you? I've got to say.
I'm never miserable.
And
but
I don't,
naughty.
I don't get terrible hangovers from tequila. It's all I've had to drink for 25 years. I promise you I drink nothing else. Anyone who knows me will know that. And I'm like a binge drinker on weekends. I don't drink during the week. I don't need it, but I love the effect of it. And, by the way, very little sugar, so it doesn't make you fat. You can drink it without having to have, like, this guilty feeling, this conscience about, oh, no, I've had, drinks now. So that's something to think about. The agave factory outside Juarez was excellent. They used to export it to Mexico at one stage, which is lovely stuff. Oh, that's another thing about tequila is unless it's made in the Jalisco province of Mexico, you can't call it tequila. It's like port. You can't call it
provenance.
Port. Mm-hmm.
Like champagne.
Correct, like champagne.
And Parmesan. And Parmesan.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Tequila dissolves calcium buildup from your arteries, says Congo Chris. A tequila a day could prevent a heart attack. Hell yes. If that's true, I'm going to up my dosage. That's so great.
Congo, Susie, I hear these things.
Susie says, so no puza face when you drink tequila. Listen, if you drink anything in excess, you're going to get a puza face. So I'm not going to guarantee that. it is the stuff that the gods and Mexico have given the world to make everybody a little happier. We should be celebrating this, and I can't believe there's a shortage. So I've got that off my.
So if it's not if it can't be called tequila if it's not from Mexico, what's the other name? You know, like we have Methoda Cup.
They will say something like tequila flavored spirit. Or something like that, but you can't actually just say it's a tequila. You can't use that term. You can use tequila flavored or aperitif or liqueur or whatever, but you can't say it's tequila unless it's 100% agave and from Mexico. And they've got a tequila board in Mexico who oversee all of this stuff. They like the
no
yes
no.
yeah
that's,
I,
no.
I have done my research. I know all the stuff, so I can't wait. And I'm going to have to, it's going to have to be something outrageous. It's going to have to be the kind of name that people will never forget. And it's got to be something that appeals to tequila drinkers who are no fading flowers. You know, these are not people who easily put off.
So we can, okay, so you're going to start next month.
Mm-hmm.
This is just.
No, now, today.
I'm the producer in me.
Today.
This is the producer in me. So in about, we'll get the first tastings kind of in June next year.
April.
Mm-hmm.
April.
What are we? October. Okay, November, December. Okay, so we'll get the first tastings.
Mm-hmm.
So shall we run a naming competition? Can people submit names?
I have already done it. I've done the bottle design. I've done the name, everything. It will all be revealed. But I'm telling you now, this is the... You know, I've been saying and moaning for a while, I need something else to do. I'm loving the show. I'm loving, you know, working with all the stuff we're doing at Cliff Central. And I am. I'm really enjoying that again, which I didn't for a long time. But now I've found something else outside of this, which I think will be exciting too. So I've done a lot of this work already. This is the first time I've spoken about it. And, of course, Pumi, you'll get a bottle. And then we may just give away a whole bunch on the show to all the most loyal listeners. So just hang on. It's going to happen, I promise. This is not some. I'm not. I wouldn't talk about it now, unless I was actually doing it. Because there's nothing worse than someone saying, "Oh, I'm going to do this," and then nothing happens. So it's going to happen. All right. We got to do some headlines.
Exciting.
Thanks, Pums. I'm excited too. Yeah. Do you want to do some headlines?
Let's. Wait, I have a headline. I have a headline for you, Gareth. I have a headline for you because I saw it this morning when I woke up on my Twitter timeline. And Ati Geleba, who is a spokesperson in the presidency, is so she's the head of digital communications in the presidency, mm-hmm. tweeted about yesterday evening, mm-hmm. about e-tolls.
Oh.
Can y'all see this?
E-tolls have fallen.
E-tolls have fallen.
That's such good news. Good.
E-tolls have fallen, she tweeted. And I think she thought that everybody would be like, yay, but this is how hurtful everyone is. I think she's had like 600 comments of everybody saying, listen, you people started this. You and your party started this shit. Now you want us to be happy that you've listened to the fact that we don't want it.
It's not the ANC's victory or the president's victory or any. It's the people of South Africa, because remember, we went on basically, Pumi, we can take the credit for this. As ordinary citizens, I was part of this. We were all part of it. Except those goody-goodies like Leanne Moll, who got their e-tags. The rest of us, just when we got these bills, we just refused to pay, remember?
So there you go. There's a headline. The e-tolls have fallen. I don't know what that means, though. They've been saying that for years.
I like that you threw that in. That's good news. Congo Chris has some terrible news in the headlines. He says, my headline for today, the SANDF intercepted a shipment of 223 million rand in Bona pills. Viagra coming from Mozambique. Oh, Jesus, that's bad news.
Not Viagra. It's not exactly Viagra. It's a type of Bonapil.
Okay.
They stopped the shipment.
All right. Well, I'm gonna say that's the good and the bad. Now, some of the ugly. So there was an update. The South African government said it noted the warning of a threat issued by the U.S. Embassy about possible terror attacks in Sandton. It is the responsibility of the South African security forces to ensure all people within our country feel safe. We are working hard at keeping our nation and people safe, they said. We continue to monitor for threats to our citizens, nation, and sovereignty. Threats are assessed continuously and acted upon to ensure the safety of all. The government said it would urgently inform South Africans of any immediate threats should the need arise.
I have three things to say about this.
Go ahead.
The first one is that when this terror alert surfaced yesterday afternoon on social media, it was on a U.S. embassy letterhead, and they had sent it to all their staff.
Right.
It sort of created a meltdown in the mother's WhatsApp group.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, because sports.
Oh, shit.
Weekend, all of that.
Okay.
And as you know, this is one of the banes of my existence. I thought that sending somebody to boarding school would like preclude me, would shield me from some of these. No, it has not. So this meltdown, DEFCON, whatever. mothers worrying about their precious little people.
Yeah.
And sports this weekend. Should we send them? What are you doing about the terror threat?
Well.
Secondly, why is America creating this panic in our country about terror attacks when they couldn't see 9/11 coming?
You are right. You are right.
They couldn't see it coming.
Mm-hmm.
In America, home soil, they couldn't see that terror attack coming. Now they're creating this panic. And then my third thing is now we have to rely on Zizi Kodwa.
Oh, God,
he's got
everything
under control.
Mm.
Zizi Kodwa has got everything under control. Like, that's just...
That's not a serious...
I may need a tequila. I may need an upper. Right?
Well, a lot of people are talking about it, so let me just give you what was eventually shared. This is what the U.S. Embassy's notification said. It said, terrorists may be planning to conduct an attack targeting large gatherings of people at an unspecified location. There is no further information regarding the timing, method, or target. In other words, here's something to be afraid of.
Do you think that many people are coming to Pride?
Oh, of course. There's Pride this weekend, so that could be under threat. That could be under threat, right?
Oh, could
be it. Who knows? But National SAPS spokesperson Colonel Atlanta Mate said that she would confirm the alert with relevant sources, and they are going to make sure that they keep the Pride Parade people in Sandton informed of what's going on. But we will obviously, if we find any more information, share it with you as well. So that's the main story in the news. And people were, you know, there's so many people who love panic porn, hey. I got it from like 20 different people, people I haven't heard from in months. And they were like, oh, terror attack. I'm like, uh-oh. I can really, these are not the kind of people I need to hear from. They just love a story that gets everyone frightened and nervous. Apparently SARS is the other news headline. SARS has accepted a minister's challenge to collect more tax, that of course being the Minister of Finance, Enoch Godongwana, who said they must collect more tax. It forms the majority of the country's revenue. All of the country's revenue, Minister.
I have lasted this long. I have lasted 46 minutes into this show without swearing. Now the urge.
Go on.
The urge.
Say it. Say it. You're allowed
fuck
to.
Fuck him.
Pums, you are.
We cannot have an economy in the kind of stagnation that we are in, the number of people we have living in poverty, and then have a fucking minister that thinks that they can collect more tax.
You speak fucking egregious. You speak for all of us. And it's not often that Pumi uses the F word three times in about a minute and a half. But that's how a lot of people feel. Like, who's this guy?
I have lasted this long.
Who's this guy to be saying this? By the way, governments have collected 1.682 trillion rand in the last year. Revenue collections as at September the 30th amounted to 784.8 billion, yielding growth of 64.7 billion against prior year collections. In other words, SARS's collections have gone up. Now, I don't know about you, but
it's ridiculous. This is what strangling an economy is about.
Well, they owe me some money, and do you think I'm going to see that in a hurry? I've been waiting for almost a year and a half to get my refunds on money that they just took that was not theirs. So it's money that is mine that's been sitting in their accounts. They're probably including that in there. It's not a lot. But, I mean, imagine if you're a company that has serious cash flow issues. You're dependent on SARS. We spoke about this just the other day. And you need that money to make ends meet so you can actually, you know, pay your people. And they will withhold. Or worse, they'll say that, you know, there's this tiny 2 cent problem in your VAT returns or something. And you think you get a second chance. No, you have to go to the tax ombudsman, and then they still ignore you. So, Enoch Godongwana, really, we don't want to hear from you. He says, all collections against the previous year showed an upward trend, except for the fuel levy, which saw a contraction of 9.1 billion, because people can't afford fuel, Minister. Anyway, the Commissioner, Edward Kiesvetter, said at SARS, we accept the challenge of a revised higher revenue estimate. While the revised revenue estimate is steep, we are committed to act according to what is permissible in the law to meet this challenge. And then there was a whole breakdown of kind of what's happening with SARS, what they're going after, liquidation and sequestration of assets, illicit trade interventions, syndicated tax and customs crimes. So obviously we want SARS to do their job, but I've always said, and Pumi, you'll probably sympathize with this, if not agree with it wholeheartedly, if you pay this government more than 1 cent more than they deserve, 1 cent more than they deserve, then they're legally obliged to take from you, which already I have a problem with. But if you pay them 1 cent more than that, you are an accomplice to a crime. You're an accessory to all of their thieving and stealing. You agree?
See, I'm so mad. Now I need a second shot of tequila.
Pumi, I'm just going to get you a bottle and you can sit there for a Thursday show when it comes out and just get hammered on all of the things that piss you off. While we're on the headlines, one other thing. Twitter has said it has the most active users that are in an absolute decline. So this is not great, especially for Elon.
What is that? Say that again.
Twitter's most active users are declining, the company wrote in an internal report. Okay. Heavy tweeters, these are the people who've been using Twitter the most, create half of Twitter's global revenue but make up less than 10% of their users. Crypto and not safe for work content are replacing traditional popular tweets. Now, that's interesting.
What is not safe for work?
Well, it's porn,
what
obviously.
Not safe for work
content.
It must be porn.
That's what it's got to be.
I've never heard that. Not safe for work content.
Yeah, they still haven't acknowledged, despite Elon Musk bringing this up as a big issue. You know, he's, by the way, he's changed his biography to Chief Twit. So he's definitely taking over. And he went to the Twitter head office yesterday with a sink, a kitchen sink, and he put it down. Like, there's some kind of statement there. This guy, he's fun to watch, you've got to admit. He might be a crackpot. He might be an idiot savant. He might be an absolute genius, but he's also interesting to watch. So he walked into Twitter's head office with a kitchen sink and put it down and laughed and then walked out. So I don't know what's going on there, but they still haven't admitted how many of their users are bots and how many of them are fake. So we've got to find out what that is. A lot of people loving the fact that Pumi got angry about the tax stuff. Let's do to SARS what we did to ETOLs, says Steve. yes. Derek says, and from where I'm standing, that's 1.68 trillion that's gone. Poof, never to be seen again. I come to YouTube especially to see Pumi swearing. It's giving me life, says Juliana. Nice.
It's not a proud movement.
Peter says they've owed him money for 10 years.
Wow.
Yes. Maybe it's a distraction from the fact that a Russian oligarch's yacht is in Cape Town and the government refused to impound it. Maybe the U.S. want to destroy it, says Angus. Yeah, I saw that in the news yesterday, too. One of the headlines was that this Russian oligarch has got a yacht parked in Cape Town. Because, you know, all over the world.
Has it arrived?
Yeah.
Has it arrived?
Yeah. People are just repossessing these yachts from oligarchs. And, I mean, there's a lot of money in that.
I saw Jordan Hill Lewis making an impassioned plea to Naledi Pandor about it.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Don't allow that yacht to dock on our coast. That's what he was saying. It was like, don't let them come here. Send them off into the yonder.
Exciting.
So I didn't know that it had arrived. I thought it was only arriving over the weekend.
Oh, man. I got banned from Twitter permanently, says Patrick. On purpose,
Aibu.
As I was getting addicted, I tuned a woke left person big time and got a ban. Oh, okay. Here's the idea with the sink. Ted says the sink thing refers to let that sink in with him taking over. Apparently he says he's going to fire 75% of the staff who are all like woke censorship people. So that's good news. Twitter might become fun again. Who knows? Not safe for work content and fun. Let's see. Do you think it'll be worth it? Are you going to go on in any other big way? Because I haven't been on for a couple of years. It might be worth going to check it out. Who knows? I've got to play this before we get to 7 o'clock. We've got a couple of minutes. Look at this woman. I'm going to play a video. She's got the longest nails you've ever seen in your life. They're those fake nails. But like, and she's eating, I don't know, it must be a chicken nugget that she puts in like chili dip or something. And she's got these really long nails. And then there's a guy who, he does the same thing with like all kinds of shit attached to his fingers. And it's kind of funny because these are the sorts of videos that go viral on TikTok. For what reason, I do not know. But it does entertain me, and maybe that's why I'm replaying it now. And it might entertain you. Look at this woman with her long claws eating a piece of chicken, and then the guy who's taking the piss out of her. And someone explained to me when nails get too long. Okay, here it is. Did you see that woman's nails?
That is disgusting.
What is that?
I don't know why we had to see that at 7 in the morning. That was absolutely disgusting.
Claws. But I mean, Have you seen people in real life who have nails that long? How do they do things? How do you operate your phone, for example? I mean, you know, some people struggle
with... Like with the pad part of your finger.
Jesus, that must be so awkward and irritating. It must be... They must get in the way
people
all the time.
People love their long nails. Ew, but that was a bit disgusting, Gareth, and I think you must never show such things this early in the morning ever again.
Sorry. Someone had to do it, and it was going to be me. Sorry, for whatever it's worth. All right, listen, we've got...
Uncle Butta wants to know. There's so many things about having nails that long. Uncle Butta wants to know how one wipes their bum.
Mm. That is a good question. I mean, not something that I'd like a demonstration of, but it would be interesting. And look at this. Gerabilue also wants to know, how do you wipe your bum? You know, Ojopotse and Kiara Bilue, you guys are like, you guys are gross. You went straight to the bum.
How did you think about that so quickly?
And Kim Jong-un, there is a theme. Our audience are only interested in how people wipe their backsides. This is great. Isn't that great? Unbelievable.
There's so many things to worry about when you see that video. Like, you know how stuff, like, collects in your fingernails. It's my worst thing. You've got to keep washing your hands and with the little, I'm sure you have it, Gareth, the little nail brush to wash your next to the sink so that you, when you wash your hands like that. Mm-hmm. Like, ew.
I hate it when I see I've been, I don't know, working in the garden or I've been doing something, you know, a DIY-ish. And then you look under your nails and it's just gross. I have to wash that shit off immediately. I don't know how people. And imagine if you've got those long claws, how much more admin there is, you know? It's gross. Food left under her nails, says Propaganda, is patkos.
Oh,
God. Tracy says, I had gel nails on for a week. I felt disabled. I couldn't type. I couldn't pick up something flat on the table. Never again. No thanks. Whew. Amir, listen, there's definitely a theme with wiping your bum with long nails here because everyone is talking about this. Amir says, please, guys, wash your ass before you wipe. There's trigger sprays and jugs that you can use. I couldn't agree more. Jared says, they use that toilet brush that you keep at the back of the toilet to wipe their bum.
guys.
Says. All right, let's change the topic because it's almost 7 o'clock. We got the burning platform on this morning with... I'm happy to invite to the show once again. She's written a new book. This is the book. Yeah, here we go. Pumi and I have both got our copy. It's called The Days of Zondo. It is the latest work by Ferial Hafiji and Ivor Chipkin. And it is about the Zondo Commission. So, Pumi, you would have read a lot of this stuff long before you got the book, but you're the only person, you and Ferial. So thank God for this morning, for at least the first half hour of The Burning Platform, Ferial and Pumi can get into the nitty-gritty of the Zondo Commission. And, of course, the president's family meeting that he had on Sunday night, which was to do with this. So we'll talk about all of that with Ferial Hafiji. And then we've got Alan Mendoza, who's been a guest on the show before. I spoke to him not so long ago about British politics, American politics, what goes on. He's at the Henry Jackson Institute in London. And we're going to speak to him because... Pumi, you wanted to know.
Wait.
You said last week.
I can't wait.
Can we please talk some more about the UK and what's going on there? So Rishi Sunak is now the Prime Minister. I think he's going to see King Charles today or tomorrow. And he's got to set up.
He's been.
Oh, he has been. Okay.
He's been.
All right. So then he's got to set up his government. And let's see how long he lasts. Maybe he's got a better chance than Liz Truss. So we'll get into all of that.
Remember, I also said we should run a lot on who's gonna tumble next, and literally in the afternoon,
yes,
everything came apart.
Yes, exactly. So let's see what happens. All of that and more in the Burning Platform, which is next. Stick around, CliffCentral.com. It is Thursday morning. Don't go anywhere. CliffCentral.com.